Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello everyone, you've tuned in to episode 609 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. Tonight we're doing our 137th Weekender, covering a random topic from our picker wheel and our recent hedonistic exploits. But before we get into that, we should let you know who we are. For our silent key Russ, K52X, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD. So the usual crowd is here, and we have one of us in the chat room besides us. So that's always good to see. Maybe it's because we start sort of early and on time.
30 minutes behind tonight, so we're getting back into the old groove again.
Yeah, absolutely. So that means we're here on a weekender, and that means we pick out the good old picker wheel, which I have taken the dust off of because we haven't run it in a while. And I'm looking at the topics here. I have sorted them. I've actually run the picker wheel like about 10 times, so it should be well oiled at this point. And we definitely are in need of some more random topics, especially topics that will be, hopefully conducive for both of us to answer. It's a lot of amateur radio specific topics on here. I did find out that I need to switch my sound profile for just a moment while we do this. So I'm going to do that right now, and I'm going to click the button. So hopefully you'll hear it. Wow.
It was kind of pitiful.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Let me switch back to my normal profile here. yeah. Oh, this is an interesting topic. Your dream car. So, the picker wheel is running on a really bad website with about 5,000 advertisements running at the same time inside a Safari browser, which is, kind of amazing that this is a problem. we're going to have to switch to a new picker wheel, I think. I think this one is going to be retired. I'm going to move all the topics. But in the meantime, we do have our selected topic for this evening, and it's your dream car. And we'll let Cheryl start with that one.
All righty then. So this was a car that I told Russ about. I had a friend that drove one in high school. So I'm getting ready to age myself. But my dream car is a 1987 Monte Carlo SS. And I fell in love with the car. I wanted the black one. Yeah, they also came in like a black cherry color, silver. That may have been it. But I wanted the black one. So Russ thought I was a nut, but I like the T-tops on it. And another car that I actually really liked was the new Thunderbird convertibles that they came out with 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, the early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. And I fell in love with those. There was absolutely no way I could get into one, but I thought they were cute. So,
So obviously you changed tastes over the years. Do you have like one currently that you would put in that same realm?
Probably not. I've always been a big fan of Thunderbirds, and I would love to get a hold of an 87 Monte Carlo SS. You know, just sit in the driveway or whatever for whatever reason. To like think about the newer realm of cars. I don't know that there's anything that has really reached out and grabbed me and, you know, piqued my curiosity about it. So, I would love to have a classic car. I would love to have a classic Thunderbird, you know, because mom had one when she was, a younger adult. And I thought that it was a beautiful car, and you know, so, and I've seen several in car museums, and you know, Russ has left me to kind of drool on the paint while he went and looked at things that he liked. So, you know, but you know, he was the type of person that wanted things like, oh, what was it that he was wanting so bad? I don't remember, but I was just like, oh, so you wanted a Pinto? And he was like, no, not necessarily. But, you know, he was stuck on 70s, early 70s cars. So,
well, if he wanted the Pinto lookalike, it would have been the Maverick.
Oh, well, no. Yeah, no. And he did. A friend of ours had a Maverick. Okay. And, you know, and Russ wanted the car. They had it for sale. And but it didn't run. And he was like, oh, I want that. I'll refurbish it. And I was like, no, you won't. It will sit in the driveway until I get mad and tell you either get it fixed or get it gone. You know, he's like, oh, okay, whatever. But, you know, yeah. So, but yeah, he loved things like the Pintos and the Mavericks and body style similar to that. I was like, ugh, okay, whatever. So, but he did like the Monte Carlo SS as well. So, but yeah, I don't know that there was anything that you know, lately that has reached out and grabbed me and I went, ooh, I want one of those in my driveway. So I, you know, we do have the Hyundai Palisade that we bought last year, and I do really, really like that car, but you know, nothing else. I've not seen pictures of anything else. I went, oh, that would be nice. So what's your favorite car?
Oh boy. You know, I was, as a young lad, I really liked the Z cars, and my brother had a 240Z, and I really liked that car. So I kind of was like really, really favoriting like the 280Z, the 280ZX, the 300ZX when that came out. But the 280ZX had a, you know, special place in my heart with especially the one that had the digital dashboard when they switched over into the digital dashboard and everything else in the car. Right. Because it kind of reminded me of the scooter I had. I had the 86 Honda Elite Deluxe scooter, and that thing had the digital, you know, speedometer and everything else. And I thought, oh, this is the future, you know, having all this digital crap in it. Yeah, and I looked at a 280ZX twin turbo model with a stick shift in it when I lived in North Carolina, and I was like, I was thinking about pulling the trigger until I saw the thing, you know, spit out some fuel onto itself and then start on fire, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't think I need to own one of these.
Yeah, no, that would probably be a big turnoff. Yeah,
the Z cars always had sort of, you know, a few Achilles heels up front there in the fuel delivery system, even all the way back to the 240Z. They weren't particularly well-maintained, you know, well handling on the fuel side of things. So they would essentially burp their fuel out every once in a while, which could you know, cause a catastrophic ending for the car. But they are really cool cars. And then I've always wanted a GTI, you know, Volkswagen GTI.
Right.
I've owned a Golf. I've owned a Volkswagen Rabbit. I had an 81 Rabbit, and I've had a 2001 Golf. But I never got a GTI, but I always like them. I have like every Mark model, you know, I guess we're up to Mark 9ers or whatever it is now. And I still think they're a great looking little hatch, you know, kind of like the hot hatch car, as they like to say. Other than that, you know, I don't know. I like the looks of cars and stuff like that, but I hate all the modern cars, like with a passion, especially since we bought the more recent vehicle here that we have a Volkswagen Atlas, and it has like all the stupid bells and whistles and sensors and everything else on it. And the thing just beeps and boops and does us all kinds of weird noises all the time, and it's just obnoxious. It's not fun to drive the car, so I tend to drive my wife's Volkswagen Beetle a lot. Yeah. Because between that and the motorcycle, that's pretty much what I drive. And then when I'm traveling, I take the most inefficient vehicle I own, which is the the Chevy the Chevy 2500.
Yeah.
So, because yeah, of course, now I don't know, you know, with the gas prices, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping this stuff settles out before Hamvention.
Yeah, we can only hope. So,
yeah, I don't want to be paying like $5 diesel going to Hamvention.
I haven't gotten gas since you were here. And I keep watching the gas prices going up, and I'm like, I can make another 100 miles before I have to get gas, you know.
Yeah, make the DoorDashers drive, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, and you know, that was because Russ liked to shade tree mechanics, so it having like this Hyundai was a struggle for him. Because he was like, there's some things I can do, but there's other stuff that's going to involve computers and stuff. And I don't necessarily want to mess with that or whatever. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Right. Because you're complaining about like not only just oil changes, but like, you know, it needs a service interval of them inspecting it and stuff like that. And
right.
You got to go through and click into the computer and reset all those timers and make the dealership happy so they don't like, you know, take away your warranty and everything else.
Right. Exactly. You know, and that's, you know, I have gotten, before I come to Hamvention, I've got to take it in and I've got to get like the 75,000 mile service on it. I've got to get the oil change and I have 3 different recalls on it right now. And I'm like, great. So I was, you know, when I found out that Rose's brother was going to be here next week, I was like, so how do you feel about going to the car dealership with me? He's like, sounds like a trip. I was like, yep, okay. He's like, do you have to take it? He's like, 3 recalls? I was like, yeah. He's like, wow. Okay. Yeah,
better make sure they have parts for all that stuff.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm going to have to call and, you know, get that all booked. But, you know, so, yeah, not looking forward to that. But, like, the night that we bought the Hyundai, Russ asked me, because we drove to the dealership that was 150-ish miles away from the house, to get the car. And he was like, so do you want to drive it or do you want me to drive it? And I was like, you test drove it. I stayed in the car. I'll drive it. He's like, okay. So, of course, every single alert was on in the car. So as somebody merged, you know, started coming down a ramp beside me, the car started screaming at me. I was in, you know, rush hour traffic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So the car was screaming at me because there was cars too close to me, behind, beside, in front. And I'm like, I can't do this. And he disappeared on me. Yeah, we had said that we were going to meet at X restaurant in Tulsa to eat dinner. So I had no, there was 3 or 4 different paths that he could have taken to get there. And so I went on my path and he apparently picked a different path. And when he pulled in the parking lot beside me, I got there 2 seconds before he did. Because it has a push button park and stuff on it. So I, you know, slammed it in park and, you know, got out and, you know, I was like, that's it. I'm done. He's like, what? And I was like, it's beeping and, you know, screaming at me about traffic. And he was like, are we being a little dramatic? I was like, no, we're not. And he was like, all right, whatever. So yeah, he got to drive it from Tulsa, the 130-ish miles to the house. And he was 1.5 hours behind me because apparently he got tired of the car screaming at me and pulled over on the side of the road to start muting noises and
figuring out how to turn them off.
Yeah. And he was like, they were really loud. And I'm like, dramatic much? He's like, oh, shut up. I was like, my head was pounding by the time I got to the restaurant. He was like, yeah, I understand why now. I was like, yeah, thank you. So,
but well, I think my circling back to the Z car, I think my Z car obsession kind of rubbed off on my oldest child because he has a barn find. I think he has a 73 240Z
that nice.
he's been restoring. So he's got it. I think he has it almost running.
Cool.
On all original stuff. He hasn't quite decided whether he's going to do a full, you know, swap out and put a, you know, big motor and stuff like that in there. Right. I think he's kind of going for like more of the original look and feel of the car. So I kind of get to relive the Z moment with my oldest child. I just go to his house and see it in his front yard. And that's right, also where my Golf is because we did a motor swap on the Golf. So the Golf's going to be more like a GTI because we put a Passat's VR6 in it. So
nice.
So it has everything, including a 6-speed manual transmission that we stole from another vehicle. Well, we didn't steal it, we bought it, but it definitely didn't come from a Passat. It came from something else.
All right.
So it's a work in progress. We still have the fuel tank to redo because obviously the VR6 is a gasoline engine and the Golf was originally diesel. So we're going from the diesel engine, which died. It had a full catastrophic runaway failure in DC about, 2 years ago now, I'm thinking?
Yeah. 2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah, it was right after Hamvention, and I had to go and pick up the car from DC and haul it all the way back to Montana. But one day that car will ride again, and then maybe I'll drive that. I don't know if I can fit the big screen TVs in the back of the Golf. I mean,
probably not. No,
it does hold a lot. That thing does. You can fold the seats down and everything else. And I have driven it to Hamvention a few times. So
yeah, you actually drove it the year that I got my General.
Yeah, I sure did. Yep. That's awesome. So, all right, well, that's enough for the random topic wheel topic. That was your dream car. I will slide in one more because, like, you know, I will own a Suzuki Hayabusa before I'm too old to ride it. I'm going to buy one eventually at some point. I just know it. It'll definitely be one of those odd purchases. My wife looks at me like, what in the hell are you thinking?
Well,
I
need
a bike that does, like, you know, 200 miles an hour. Of course.
Sure. Because you need to be roadkill.
Yeah. Eat myself into the great blue yonder.
Yeah. There you go.
1300cc motorcycle. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's get into some hedonism, and we're glad that this is back and we're returning. So we're going to go right into Cheryl's recipe corner. What do you have for us, Cheryl?
Well, this week I picked honey balsamic glazed ham. Russ was not a fan of baked ham when he moved here. Then he tried my mom's, and I've shared that recipe in the past. It was orange juice and brown sugar. We had not gotten the chance to try this recipe yet. I had already started shopping for Easter recipes when he passed away, but he was super excited to try it because what's better with ham than lots of tasty mustard? So this will be what I fix for Easter, but this is the recipe calls for a fully cooked bone-in ham, black peppercorns, honey, whole grain mustard, Dijon mustard, and balsamic vinegar. And of course the instructions will be in the show notes. And for my mixed drink corner this week.
Wait a second. Let's stop there. So, like, do you get like a spiral cut or just a regular ham not cut?
I personally do spiral cuts because I'm kind of lazy.
Okay.
And that, you know, but yeah, you could
do anything special to prevent like drying out and stuff like that.
You would want to keep it covered with foil and probably make sure that you baste it. Put some water in the pan to kind of steam it. But as it bakes, baste it. So, you know, all the yummy mustard and vinegar and everything kind of soaks in. And, you know, so, you know, but definitely the secret to a really moist, like, bone and ham that you've baked is to put the ham in some water in a baking pan and make sure that you keep water in that pan so that way it steams the ham, it keeps it moist, it keeps it juicy, doesn't dry out. And that's one thing I hate is a dried out ham. So, yeah.
Now, do you let it sit when you take it out for a long time to let it kind of suck stuff back in as the muscle fibers sort of tighten back up?
Yeah, you need to, once you remove it from the oven, you need to let it sit for 15-ish minutes. So that way it has time to still suck up the juices in the pan. Plus it will bake a little bit long, you know, after you take it out of the oven, it will bake a little more and it will cause the fibers and stuff to change, you know, it loosen up a little bit and, you know, but the ham will firm up as after it cools off a little bit. So it's easier to slice, easier to get off the bone, etc. But, you know, the cooking process causes the fibers in the ham to change. So it's not, sometimes you'll get a hold of a piece of like stringy ham. And, yeah. you know, if you bake it properly, then you shouldn't deal with that or minimally deal with that. Sometimes it's just the ham, but,
yeah, I normally wait because like that 15 to 20 minutes or whatever, just kind of sitting out, you know, is like just enough time to kind of like prep some sides. So I like sort of wait to pull the ham out. And like, if I'm doing a turkey, the same kind of thing, I pull the turkey out and I just let it sit. And then I'll work on my side dishes then, instead of trying to get everything as soon as the meat comes out. Cause you know, you have people, normally you're serving for people, right? And they're all around the table or around like, okay, the food's ready. The meat's come out. It's like, no, it has to sit.
Yeah. We need to wait a little while. Yeah. No. And a lot of people don't have the patience. And I admit that I have little patience because I really want to like taste that turkey or taste that ham or whatever. So, I will occasionally snag a piece off of, you know, but yeah, Russ was always, he wanted to like slice up a turkey as soon as it came out of the oven. I was like, no, leave it alone, leave it covered, set it on the back of a burner, set it on a cabinet somewhere, let it rest, you know, and that's it. And the resting thing applies to beef,
everything,
pork. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Once you cook it, you need to pull it off, let it rest, let it soak up the juices, whatever, you know, and just give it time. So
if it's ground meat, it's different. You can go ahead and eat that.
If
it's not ground, you sort of do need to let it rest. You know, normally steaks like at least, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In a roast or something, beef Wellington needs to rest a few minutes. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. But if it's anything other than a ground meat, it definitely needs to rest for a few minutes at a minimum. And you know, the larger the cut of meat, the longer you need to let it rest. So a turkey or a ham or a large beef roast, like a rib roast or something, you'd let it set 10, 15, 20 minutes to become better. And it will definitely be better. So, cool. definitely let your meat set. Yeah. So, yeah. And for my mixed drink corner, I picked a white sangria because I am a huge fan of fruity drinks. I love white wine. So I thought this would be great to, you know, I was kind of going on the Easter related meal idea with a ham, and this would be great for Easter as well. And it calls for granulated sugar, applejack, which is apple schnapps, essentially.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that was. I was like,
applejack? Yeah, it's apple schnapps. A green apple that's been cored and diced, medium orange, a lime, a mango or a nectarine, some strawberries, dry wine, Prosecco, and some mint or basil to garnish it with. And of course, all the instructions will, you know, on how to take care of your fruit and stuff were in the show notes. So, and you know, this is one of those things that the longer you let it sit, the better it gets. So try to fix it an hour or two before you're going to drink it, so it's nice and tasty. So, but, and for Russ's drink corner, I plan on continuing to do that occasionally. Obviously, I didn't have a chance this week to pick out a whiskey, but that will be something that happens from time to time. Yeah. So, and we're going to have whiskey at Hamvention, so there'll probably be mentions of, you know, that after we get home. So, you know, got to find stuff that Bill hasn't tried already, so that I've not tried already. So, so
and we could definitely go heavier into scotches too. It's fine.
Well, that's true.
That's an area where I'm not as comfortable and familiar with. So it's like, I'm always interested in trying some new things. So then that's what we get.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I was the scotch drinker. Russ had not he had not really tried scotch until I said, "Here, try this." And he was like, "Oh, well, this is really good." And it was a bottle of Lafroy. And he was like, I'm impressed, because he had always leaned towards the bourbons. So he had bought some of his own scotch in there, but most of the scotches in there, I think, were bought for me. So, I am definitely the old time plastic Band-Aid girl. I really like that taste. And a lot of people are like, bleh. I was like, yeah, no. So, but we went to a whiskey tasting years ago, and I went to their whiskey 101 class with Russ. And after the speaker was done, he's like, so who here likes whiskey? And everybody raised their hand, and I just kind of, with my hand. I like it. It's just not my favorite, you know. And so there's like three of us in the class that didn't really raise our hands. So he went to the first person. He's like, what do you drink? They're like, red wine. He's like, good. I'm a wine drinker as well. And then, I was the last person. He's like, so what do you drink? And I was like, rum or vodka? Yeah. And he's like, oh, so you're my rum and vodka girl. All right. He's like, you're being held after class. And I was like, okay. He's like, yeah. He's like, I have a little test for you. I was like, okay. So after the class was over and everybody left, he kept the three of us back, and he had a tray that had a higher proof Jack Daniels on it, that, like the Gentleman Jack type version. He had Laphroaig, and he had something else, and I don't remember what it was, but we tried the Jack, and he's like, so what do you think? And I was like, it's Jack, and he was like, you're still not impressed. I was like, no, not really, not a Jack person anyway. He was like, okay. And then he, handed me the Laphroaig, and he wasn't letting us see the bottles. And so I smelled it, and I was like, this is Scotch. And he was like, yeah. He's like, okay, so you're not a bourbon drinker. He's like, but you're familiar with Scotch. I was like, oh, I love Scotch. And he was like, okay. And I sniffed at it a little more, and I was like, this smells like Laphroaig. or maybe Lagavulin. And he was like, it's Laphroaig. And I was like, all right. Yeah. And he's like, no, never mind, you don't have to taste it now. I was like, well, no, I've got it, I'm tasting it. And he was like, all right. He's like, you confuse me. I was like, why? And he's like, you prefer vodka or rum, but you love Scotch. I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, you make absolutely no sense. I'm done with you. Like, all right, whatever. So, but yeah, no. Now, I would say at least half of the scotches that Russ has got in there on the shelf were bought specifically for me for birthday, Christmas, whatever. Or and I just
mostly unopened.
No, some of them are open. No, they're not all not unopened. Oh, okay. I was in a discussion regarding Russ's whiskey and stuff the other day, and they're like, why do you have so much? And I was like, well, Russ had essentially stopped drinking. And they're like, why? And I was like, well, he was having some health issues, and the doctors had to lay off the booze. And they're like, okay. And they're like, did he just stop completely? I was like, no, he didn't stop completely, but he kind of put a screeching halt to it. And they're like, oh. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I said, we during COVID, we just drank way too much. He's like, yeah, I get that. So
I know how that is.
Yeah. So yeah, we all enjoyed our beverages during that time, because what else? The world was going to hell. So I'll bring some scotches, and we'll talk about Scotch at Hamvention. So, and I know there's a couple of whiskeys in there that he has bought recently that you hadn't gotten to try yet, so I'll drag those along with me as well. So
great. Well, we'll get over to my corner here, and I, full transparency, I am drinking a Coors Light here at the table, and I'm having a nice Cameroon cigar that I'm finishing up. But I did want to talk about this particular item that I've been having at the local establishment. And this is the Charlie Russell Irish Style Red Ale, Harvest Moon Brewing Company out of Belt, Montana. So this is not widely distributed. It is in Wyoming and Montana, which that probably means nothing to the rest of you people. But hey, that's pretty big distribution for us. But it's a 5.5 ABV beverage with 20 IBUs. And this is our little blurb on it. Because the water in Belt is almost identical to the classic Burton water in England, we have brewed a beer very similar to an ale from that region. Two row pale ale malt combined with hops of a soft, flowery character, but not overly aromatic or bitter, combined for an ale to be enjoyed year-round. This ale is red in color and has a malt character like an amber ale, but with the hoppiness of a pale ale. And yeah, I would agree with all of that stuff. It's very tasty. It's a very nice beer to drink. I've had probably too much of it in the past few weeks. Because red ale is a nice thing to have during during St. Patrick's Day. So instead of the Guinness or anything else like that, I kind of went with the red ale for this period. And it has not disappointed. It does about a 3 point something on Untappd. Which I think is, I would say it's probably low, but it depends. Like if you're looking at the style, the actual red ale style, I think it would grade much higher in the family of all the reds that I can think of, including ones up in Canada, like Rickard's Red. And, if you say Killian's Red or something like that is a real beer. I mean, I have drank probably gallons of Killian's Red over the years. It's a really, really good beer, from a smaller brewing company, here in Montana. Very good, very good, very, very flavorful. And, I'm enjoying it while it's, still on tap at the local establishment. And I was gonna say something else, but I will it'll probably come back to me. in the meantime, let's move on over to announcements and feedback.
All right, yeah, we've got one announcement this time, and that is that I am hosting a memorial service for Russ, K5TUX, and it will be on November 1st, 2026, at our home in Mount Vernon, Missouri. Bill is planning on being here, provided life doesn't throw him any sort of curves. So everyone is welcome. If you hear this, you are welcome to join us. And if you'd like more information, please send an email to info@lhspodcast.info, and we'll make sure to get you some details about it. I am encouraging folks that if you want to bring your handy talkies or your mobile setups and set out in the yard, because there will be other ham radio operators there, I'm sure. Just set up out in the yard and do your thing. So, because that's, Russ would love to have that happen. So, there won't be a whole lot going on. We're not throwing a big, huge, magnificent party or anything. This is just for the people that touched Russ to come meet the other people that touched Russ or whatever. So, he was big into music, big into ham radio. What else? Computers, obviously. if you want to come and hang out with a bunch of people in those lines of, life, please feel free to come join us. So we are in a rural area, so hotels are in the direct vicinity of the house within 5 miles, kind of limited on hotels there. We do have a couple, but within 30 miles there are thousands of hotels. So, and decent sized airports and everything else. So if you'd like to come join us, we would love to have you. So.
Great. And this is time we ask you to help support the show via Patreon, PayPal, merchandise. We still have the link up to the Spring Tea store. So there's an opportunity to get merchandise there. Send us topics, like I mentioned earlier. Join us on YouTube. I do try to publish the podcast as soon as YouTube gets it. I've been a little bit more lax lately with getting it published. I'm just basically hitting the public button as soon as it pops up there with all the information. So if the description looks a little wonky, it's basically because it's just how it reads the RSS feed. YouTube's technically not really a good podcast app to use, but I know there's quite a few of you that do use it. And, encourage you to do that. And as I always say, but I never deliver on, we will work on some YouTube content for improving our YouTube channel. We're obviously not a YouTube podcast. We don't focus on it. We don't focus on video, but we do like putting, you know, informative videos up there to get your, you know, PC Shack ham radio ready. Not interested in, you know, doing the kabams and kablows and fancy video setups and everything else. That's not us.
Yeah.
There's plenty other channels that do that for you and, you know, have the clickbaity titles and everything else. And please go enjoy those. Those are, you know, fun. But I do want to thank as well everyone for, you know, starting to listen back to the podcast. And this is what I was trying to remember, right? we've had quite a few listens in the past 30 days. Obviously, since we've started things back up, people are hitting back to the podcast. We've had about 14,000 listens. So it's kicking nice. Up real quick. Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. Who'd have thunk? People actually listen to us out there. It's amazing.
Know.
Yeah. We it's have, shocking. Yeah, we have way over 500,000, listens overall. So hopefully they get past the intro music and listen to the content of the show, and hopefully we provide a lot of content. And I did want to thank Dan KB6NU. He did mention in his closing remarks on the ICQ podcast this past week that hey, we're back in business. LHS podcast is putting out episodes. Come listen to us. So thanks, Dan, for thinking of us and passing that along in the ICQ podcast.
Yes, thank you very much.
And now, new subscribers and new supporters and live participants.
Well, for this week, we have John Stengel on Patreon. And for our live show participants, we had Delring, KQ4ALK, and Mike, K6GTE.
Yeah, thank you for listening and participating here live in the podcast. And John, I think, is a new Patreon. So that's a new sign up. So thank you very much for joining the crew here. It every little bit helps. And yeah, Mike says better late than never. Yeah. Mike sort of squeaked in there, but he got his name in the in the participants. It's pulling a Darren on the show like after we're done recording.
Yeah. Well, Mike's been here for several minutes now, so you know.
Yeah. We have someone else typing there, so we'll give him a second to type in the chat room. Oh, and Delring says thank you for everything. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank here. You.
And we'll go ahead and let Cheryl wrap things up here with the outro.
All right. Well, again, everybody, thank you for joining us. And this is the end of episode 609. So remember to spread the word about us and let everybody know. So I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.